Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, a little bit later we'll be talking with documentary producer James Fox, who is engaged in some fascinating projects. A lot to come there. And yes, we will ask him about the experience over at the Chasing UFOs show and have him answer your questions. That's later. Let's talk about things now. Now, as you know, listeners, a couple of weeks back, we featured this great debate between Kevin Randall and Scott Ramsey covering the alleged Aztec UFO crash. I say alleged, whether a UFO or anything, any kind of craft, crashed in Aztec, New Mexico in March of 1948. Now, one thing we didn't mention there, and I'd like to draw our listeners' attention to this. Kevin Randall has this blog called A Different Perspective at kevinrandall.blogspot.com, and we have always links for it over at theparacast.com. And there's a three-part series there called Aztec in Perspective by Monty Shriver. Did you read that, Chris?
You know, Gene, now that you mention it, no, I haven't.
Okay, now, let me tell you about Monty Shriver. He lived in Aztec. He grew up there, okay? He grew up there. And one thing he can tell us, because he was around in 1948, I guess a preteen. He was around in 1948, and he certainly is not too old to remember his life. He has no memory, whatever, of anything untoward happening in or around Aztec in his youth in 1948. He doesn't know anybody who does. He went back to his 60th class reunion, and they couldn't remember it either. But what he did was read the book from Scott Ramsey with Suzanne Ramsey and Frank Warren and Dr. Frank Thayer, and also Bill Simon's book on Aztec. And he kind of, sort of, disproved a lot of it. Number one is he pointed out that Ramsey's descriptions of roads, what roads were available then and where they went and that kind of stuff, a lot of that information was wrong. Sometimes just slightly, sometimes completely wrong. Okay? The locations of bridges, also kind of wrong. Now, what bothers me is Frank Warren had a detailed rebuttal that he made over some of the aspects of Shriver's article, but Ramsey never issued a rebuttal of this thing. We're left back with a real serious problem here of the fact that we have an earth-shattering event, allegedly.
Alleged.
The crash of a strange flying object in Hart Canyon near Aztec, New Mexico. We have a town where, you know, it's like any small town in America. People know people, nothing happens that people don't know about. Maybe they won't talk about it in mixed company, but if something like this happened, they'd know about
it. Word gets around.
Word would get around. The local newspaper would have some inkling of it. Maybe it was just a shopper, you know, a weekly thing with the local ads. But it would have local stories. Something like this is a national...
Something like that. Come on.
Oh, listen.
The Durango papers, the Aztec paper, Farmington, they'd all be there. And it would probably hit the news services if something really happened and it came out.
Okay, now one piece of physical evidence, alleged again, that Scott Ramsey produces is this concrete slab. What was it used for? Now, he's suggesting it was used to anchor the excavation equipment. But you can't prove that. I mean, it doesn't matter what it was used for. Can you prove it was used to excavate a flying saucer? That's the point. It's not what it could have been used for. It is, can you prove it was used for that purpose? And I don't think you can. The other thing is here, the size of the equipment, and this guy, Shriver, has an engineering background, the size of the equipment you'd need would overhang the road by like 13 feet in each direction. So imagine something that large transported like that in a multiple convoy, dozens and dozens of feet long. You're telling me that happened and nobody in the entire town knows about it?
Well, in that environment especially, because we're talking about semi-arid desert, there's not very many trees of loft, you know, high trees. And something like that would be impossible, for especially for nearby ranches, to not spot going by. I mean, that's huge.
I don't know. I mean, yes, Scott Ramsey has found a couple of people who claim to have witnessed something. But that's not enough to hang an entire case on. It's going to require a lot more, and we have the one problem that Kevin Randall mentioned during the interview. Let's understand.
Right, and
it.
No, it's what I mentioned, and that is we don't have any information or any inkling of something happening pre-Scully.
And this is the problem. Now, if we look at debating points, who won that debate? Probably Ramsey, because he's been immersed in this case for 20 years. And Randall has read about it, but has not been immersed in the case for that long.
I think Randall actually came out ahead. He just sounded defensive, so it seemed like he didn't.
But he seemed to feel he did end up, as they say, a little bit less than Ramsey in terms of having everything on the table. But Ramsey also tried to bushwhack him with a couple of silly things like pronouncing somebody's name wrong, like Bauer or something like that, which
Gebauer,
is ridiculous.
Whatever it is. I mean, that's
G. Bauer, Gebauer, whatever the heck it is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't change the facts. Now, you know, I think at this point, unless or until Scott Ramsey can show us more than he has shown, I don't think there's anywhere to go with this case.
I agree.
I'm not saying that Ramsey's lying or anything else. I think the guy is sincere. I know a few people have attacked him. One person called him slippery as an eel in the way he handles the debate. So he's a smooth debater. Okay, that's fine. Let's look at the case. The evidence is not fair to sustain the conclusion that a strange flying object crashed in Aztec. I know Frank Warren will not like that. I know that Scott Ramsey will not like that, but I think the onus is on them to provide more evidence, if it exists. And I think after all these years, unless you find evidence of a craft being held at some kind of secret government base, where do you go with it? Where do you take it? I think this is the end of it.
Yeah, so onwards and upwards.
Right. We'll have to ask E.T. E.T., did you have a problem with a flying saucer crashing in the New Mexican desert in 1948?
Earthlings be good.
Well, you see, and we also have to wonder here about Roswell. Roswell, something happened, but I still think the evidence that it was extraterrestrial or something strange is not there yet. It could have been a flying saucer. It could also have been a test aircraft. That's not disproven.
Or body snatchers in the desert.
Exactly. Nick Redfern's theory. That's where you go about that.
Well, we're going to have fun today with our guest.
Oh, yes. Now, you met up with our guest in California just a few weeks ago.
I did. I went out to do an interview with a bunch of other really interesting folks, including Ann Druffel, who had the original Polaroid shots for the Rex Heflin photographs, which I found very fascinating. But James is working with Tracy Torme, of course, who did the Fire in the Sky, Travis Walton movie, the show Sliders, was a executive story editor for Star Trek New Generation, blah, blah, blah. The two of them, powerhouses in any sort of ufological filmmaker sense, have dovetailed their efforts and partnered up for a new feature film with the working title 701, which are the number of unexplained Blue Book file cases. And they've been working on interviewing people and doing all the research. Of course, Tracy, the great writer that he is, will be writing the narration. And James had the distinct pleasure of spending over a week. Now, this boggles my mind. I must admire him for being able to hang that long. But he was out in the D.C. area, and he hung out with Ray Stanford for 8 days.
Ray Stanford for 8 days. That will take us 8 hours to discuss that on the show, and that's only part of it. Yes, imagine 8 days with Ray Stanford. That's a show and a half unto itself. James Fox coming up next. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget.
A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Microplant Powder Gold. Microplant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Microplant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Order today at 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org.
I have bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. I was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance, as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
A few days ago, we heard the sad news that one of our fellow travelers in paranormal radio, Kevin Smith, had died, apparently of a heart condition. We send out our sympathies to his friends and his family. Back on the Paracast with Gene and Chris, we welcome back James Fox, who's a movie producer and documentarian, and he's responsible for this new film called 701. We subtitle it, The Number the Government Does Not Want You to Know, because these are the unsolved cases in Project Blue Book. James Fox, thank you for coming back on.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right. I guess we got to ask this question. Let's get it finished first. Now, a lot of people were asking about one of your co-hosts, the female co-host on that show you did. But we'll get into that in a moment. Let's talk about the facts here. You get on a show called Chasing UFOs for National Geographic Channel, and you came on here and in other places, and you weren't too happy with the way things are, and then one of your co-hosts joined you in basically disparaging or attacking the show. So what happened there? Just kind of give us the Reader's Digest version, because we covered a lot of this in the previous segment.
Yeah, well, the ultimate realization of the project could not have been further from what was initially described to both me and Ben. You know, we detected that it started to move in the wrong direction, and we were just essentially powerless to change it. And it didn't even have a title for the first couple of months. And then they narrowed it down to, I think, three titles, and Ben and I were so opposed to the Chasing UFOs title, we were considering even, like, combining forces and just protesting. But, you know, unfortunately, we acquiesced. And then there was a lot of, you know, we understand, like, you know, with television that, you know, it's primarily entertainment. So we were, both Ben and myself, were hoping that we could infuse some entertaining aspects and also get in some good, pertinent information. But what ended up on the edit room floor was most of the good stuff, and all the sort of hyperbole ended up on the screen, which we were completely and utterly disappointed about. So we spoke out, and we spoke out rather early on. And, you know, I don't think that since that day that article came out of what Ben and I really felt about the show, I haven't spoken to the production, the guy and head of the production company, after our initial conversation. I don't think I've talked to him since.
This is Chris here, James, and welcome to back to the show. I must say, it's the first time I have ever seen two principals, on-screen personalities, come out and question the editorial slant of a show that hasn't even been broadcast yet. I mean, literally, as that first show was broadcast, you and Ben were voicing publicly your reservations about the approach. And I must say, you know, I admire that kind of, you know, just sheer integrity that would allow you and Ben to do that. And I admire that. But I must say, this is an aside, this is the first time I've ever heard of this happening ever on a, you know, a big budget show like that.
Yeah, well, the officials, the execs at Nat Geo were less than pleased about the whole incident. And I actually wrote a very detailed email to the execs as to why we spoke out, and with references to emails and what was initially sold to us and all the... I gave examples for each and every episode that we had seen and why we were upset. And I remember when the... You know, because it's the production company, basically. I'm not entirely sure what went down ultimately, whether it was the production company that was keeping it in the dark, or whether it changed directions when there were some execs that had left Nat Geo and some new execs came on board. So maybe they changed the entire concept of the show. It's never been really clearly told to me, so I don't know. But
you never know what goes on the network level. One thing I must say, though, when I met you out in L.A., we were standing in the lobby of the hotel, and who did we happen upon but Aaron, the third, you know, principal in the show. And you whispered to me that had been the first time you had talked to her since the show aired or went out of production.
Yeah, well, we did some promotional stuff. I'm not sure the exact, if it was right afterwards,
but I found that very interesting that we should just be standing there, and all of a sudden we look over and guess who's there.
Yeah, that was a real weird coincidence, wasn't it?
And she was also one of the executive producers on the show. Correct me if I'm wrong.
She was a show runner. Yeah.
Right. She was the field producer, basically.
Yeah, they're basically the person that, you know, and it's a difficult thing to do, to both appear and run the show.
It's impossible. But she's I can tell she's got a game face, big time, and she seemed very congenial and. I didn't detect any sort of animosity or anything from her. She seemed very sweet.
Well, yeah, you know, she was involved with one of the owners of the production company, and after that show, some point during the show, I think they separated, and I got the impression, though I don't know for sure, that it was not a very amicable separation. So I don't know ultimately what level of her involvement was with the show, or whether she was, I don't know.
Interesting. Well, she seemed very, very gracious and very nice, and it was really a pleasure meeting her. How many shows were actually finally aired? Six?
Eight shows.
Eight shows were aired. Okay. And there was never any talk about revamping the show, possibly coming out with a second season or anything like that?
Well, you know, I think that there was a lot of things going on internally, one of which was, I guess I'm at liberty to say this, but you know, Ben has an incredible way of articulating his thoughts, and he essentially... for the most part, kind of refused to go on any media, you know, do any interviews with further comments about, you know, how he felt about the show. And then he added a little caveat, and he's like, and I'm not even sure, I can't remember exactly how he phrased it, but I thought, wow, that was really beautifully executed. Something about, I'm not even sure of any future involvement with my, at this point, with me anyway. In other words, I don't think I'm ever going to go back to that show. And he said that to the execs very early on. So they kind of like kept him out of the limelight, but he did it in a very diplomatic way. Yeah, well, you know, it's, you know, you live and learn. And I was warned going into it that these things happen, and I thought that it would be different, and I was wrong.
All right, so the point is here, there will never be a second season of Chasing UFOs, right?
You know, I think the execs realized that it was extremely unlikely that we would even participate. And then I wrote a very detailed email, which I never had a response to the execs, explaining my position and why I spoke out, and gave plenty of examples.
You had a huge budget for the show, right? I mean, that was a big budget.
You know, that was one of the things that bothered me more than anything else, is that, you know, from someone who's done documentaries independently and known, you know, what it takes, and it, you know, the amount of money that was spent on that show and what I could have done with that money, you know, I mean, my God. It could have been a really incredible opportunity. And I thought that Nat Geo would have a bit more integrity. But ultimately, you know, they're just interested in selling advertising space, and what sells is, you know, you look at some of the shows that are doing extremely well, their ratings, and you just think, my God, you know, wow.
Hey, it's the great American
public. If the American public is eaten up, then boy, I'm in the wrong field.
I'm going to ask you a few more questions before we go into your current project, but we have James Fox joining us with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio, DreamHost.com/radio. Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
There are those curious about bitcoins and those using and making money with bitcoins. What are bitcoins? A bitcoin is the first decentralized currency that can be easily transferred from person to person over the internet. No bank needed. This means lower fees, and accounts can never be frozen, limited, or closed. You are in control of your money. And the best part? You can start earning and making money with bitcoins right away. No computer or expertise is required to earn money with bitcoins, and a growing number of merchants now accept bitcoins. Plus, they're easily exchanged for dollars, euros, and more. Learn more about the easiest, cheapest, most profitable way to enter the Bitcoin market and get paid every 2 weeks by one of the fastest-growing Bitcoin miners in the world at cloudhashing.com. Just like it sounds, cloudhashing.com. That's cloudhashing.com. We mine your business.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Summertime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at HerbalHealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's summer specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fam and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best-selling liquid CalMag Vitamin D, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for summer at HerbalHealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at HerbalHealer.com.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
On the Paracast with Gene and Chris, James Fox, motion picture, documentary producer, director, and star. Now, the other question I have of you, James, and this is obviously something that you've probably considered, having spoken out against the production, Chasing UFOs, does that make it more difficult for you to get other projects?
Certainly in the industry, in that particular industry, you know, I mean, I've worked independently most of my life, so I've never had to worry about those types of things. But in terms of, like, getting another gig like that, I think I would be looked at as a liability. So probably yes.
Or at least if they back to you, they make it very clear what the ground rules are at the beginning and provide something that at least is favorable. Now, understand here, based on what you told me, I don't want to get into details, even though they apparently had a big budget for this, the talent didn't get a lot of money from this project.
No, so that's a whole other issue. If you look at the percentage of what was spent on each episode as to what it was, not commensurate with our contribution, in my opinion, by a long shot. I mean, I would guess to say it's somewhere in the realm of $350,000 per episode, maybe a little more, maybe a little less. I'm not entirely sure. Then you've got all the budget that was spent on promotional. I mean, I don't even know how much they spent on promotion. I mean, it must have been a lot. You can't help but think, boy, what I could do with these kind of funds.
So much for commercial TV. But other people attacked other UFO documentary shows, like, for example, UFO Hunters. That was one Bill Burns was involved in. And it had some interesting parts, but sometimes they overlooked less than favorable details about some cases to make it look better. And they took Chris, for example, and they interviewed him, and suddenly they miraculously transported everything he was talking about from where? New Mexico to Arizona.
I think there's a terminology in the production world for that, Frankenbites. And that happened, and I noticed, because one of the clauses I put in the contract was that I would have oversight of some of the content that I brought to the table. Okay.
They signed that?
Well, it was only the interviews, the people that I brought to the table, right? And I noticed on, I think, one of the second or third episodes, and they wouldn't show me the whole thing. They would show me just snippets, just the tiny snippets. And I noticed someone saying something that was Frankenbit. They just edited into saying, make it look like he's saying one thing. And I just put my foot down. I was like, what the hell is this? And they all passed it around. Oh, that must have been the previous editor that we fired, and that was an oversight. And then I said, well, somebody has to be held accountable for this.
Wow.
This is making someone say something they didn't say, and that's so unacceptable. What are you guys thinking? You know, especially with my name on this thing, and I raised hell about it. And but, you know, you can't catch all these things, and then you're kept out of the loop and in the edit room for the most part, and it's incredibly frustrating. And, you know, who
That's
knows
why
what
you're
goes
an independent film producer so, and director, so you can do your own projects and stand behind the content.
And I should point out here that cropping or editing or putting words in people's mouths, it's not just in reality shows. In the mainstream media, there have been a few notorious cases where they'll take somebody's words and they will telegraph them. Somebody says something, and all the stuff around it that explains what that means is removed so they can change the meaning and have it mean something totally different. It's not unusual.
It's really, really, it's diabolical, in my opinion. I mean, it's absolutely, you know, it just makes you realize they're not concerned at all about accuracy of content. It's just, does it fit into their little storyline, and does it, no regard for accuracy or no integrity for the witnesses. It's really unfortunate, really, really unfortunate. It seems like it's getting even worse, so.
Well, the one thing that really stuck out to me is when you guys are going out searching for physical evidence, you're doing it in 3 inches of water with lipstick cams in your face at night. That, to me, it just, from that first episode on, it was totally trash. And the other thing was the great footage that you got of that weird circulating light in the sky, in the clouds, which looked to me to be real footage, and we never heard anything about it again.
Oh, I could give you case after case after case of every single episode of, you know, no further analysis. I mean, I'll give you one point right now, which just guts me to talk about, but, you know, when Travis Walton agreed to do the show, he only did it because of me, and he said, okay, well, I'll do it, and I'll take you guys to the site, provided that you do analysis work on these anomalous tree ring growths at the epicenter of where I saw the craft. And there was clearly something anomalous or something that caused these, you know, trees in that immediate area to grow a lot faster. And you could clearly see that by this, you know, the tree ring growth. And he's like, I just want to know further analysis work on this. And that's, you know, and then everyone agreed that was going to happen. And then nothing ever happened with that in post. It's like they just, like, you know, mentioned it briefly and then didn't do any follow-up analysis work. Zero, nada, nothing. And I could give you case after case for every single episode where that happened. I mean, Frank Kimbler, okay, New Mexico geologist, he found what might possibly be debris from whatever it was that crashed at Roswell. Pretty significant thing, don't you think? And preliminary analysis came back on some of the bits of metal that he had in his possession, of the magnesium isotopes being possibly, not definitively, possibly outside of what's found on Earth, but he needed further analysis that he couldn't afford to do. And I can't remember I don't know the exact terminology, I have to look up in my notes, but we found a lab in Los Angeles that would agree to do that, and for free, provided, you know, they just, we plugged their company, which was, I mean, God, no-brainer, right? Well, all Frank Kimbler wanted was to be able to personally hand over this debris to the lab, which is, just requires a flight, okay? And from,
yeah, and you document your evidence chain. That's
yeah,
huge.
From New Mexico,
it's really important.
It's a total reasonable request. And I kept getting mixed stories from the production company, and then Frank would call me. Of course, I'm in touch with Frank, and I'm going, Frank's like, well, that's not what's happening at all. I told him that I was gladly willing to hand this stuff over. I just wanted to do it in person. So all I basically needed was approval to get him an airline. He's like, I'll even take care of my own.
Yeah, like a $200 round-trip flight.
Yeah, ridiculous, right? Couldn't get them to do it. So the very reason that he participated in our show was to have further analysis done on his bits of metal. That's what he wanted. And we didn't. And we said we'd do it, and we didn't do it. And I could give you case after case. I mean, it was just absurd. Like absurd. So frustrating. So,
well, is there any hope for broadcast television and all the cable channels covering, you know, paranormal subjects in general, but UFOs in particular? Is there any hope for them to do it correctly?
I don't think they care. Yeah, I just don't think that the executives care one way or the other at all, whether or not, you know, there's any real evidence or any analysis that would prove one way or the other. It's just entertainment, the bottom line.
Yeah, they're filling spaces in between commercial blocks.
Exactly. So incredibly frustrating, you guys. And I can go on. I mean, what can I say? I went on board with a lot of people telling me that, you know, we didn't even know we were going to do the night investigation, so we got out in the field, and Ben and I were looking at each other going, scratching our heads like, you want us to what? Oh, well, you know, it's just a small section of the thing, and people really like, you know, from the comfort of their couches to look at people out of. We kind of played, you know, I got to be honest, we played along with it, you know, thinking it would be a very small element of the piece, and maybe once or twice it actually made sense, but 99% of the time it didn't make any sense at all. And it was very frustrating for both Ben and I, you know. And, you know.
Well, that leads me to a question, James, from forum.theparacast.com, where we post a thread for our forum participants to go ahead and fire off some questions. And we have a couple of really interesting ones regarding chasing UFOs.
I'll tell you what, Chris, we are going to be out of time in about 20 seconds. So let's leave that as the cliffhanger, that we have a number of questions from our listeners at forum.theparacast.com in the question bank of our guest, James Fox. He's involved with Tracy Tormé in this new film, 701, that we'll talk about once we get the chasing UFO stuff out of the way. How about that, neighbors? With Gene and Chris, you're in
The Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@webtv.net. That's MrUFO@webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
You've thought about it for years. Well, the time is now. You need a secret bunker, and you need it deep and strong. Atlas Survival Shelters should be your first and only choice. The experts at Atlas can help you choose a shelter that has all the comforts of your home and is 11 times stronger than square box shelters. Call Atlas at 1-855-4-BUNKERS. 1-855-4-BUNKERS. Or visit iwantthatbunker.com. Atlas Survival Shelters. Better prepared than scared.
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop 6 hits. But what about the 7th? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LaCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LaCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LaCig.com. And LaCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months, simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
This is Kurt Sutherland, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
We're happy to have James Fox back. As you see, he doesn't pull any punches. Not at all. He tells you what he thinks. And Chris and I noted to our listeners only hours before this episode was being recorded that James Fox would be here on this episode, and we got hit with a number of questions. Chris.
We did. Okay, this one, James, comes from Gogs Mackay, who's one of our forum moderators, and he wants to know, what do you think of Stan Romanek now that you've met him, and specifically, do you think the Boo Alien at the Window video is legit? And I must say, they kind of punked you on this whole deal.
Yeah. That, you know, it's really funny because, you forget a lot of times, that you're being recorded from every possible angle. And, it's late at night, middle of the night, and you're thinking in the back of your mind, your rational side is like, this is the most probably not, any authenticity to, one way or the other. And I don't want to, comment. Well, anyway, let's just put it this way. In the back of my mind, there's a little what if. And when I first saw one of the, I'm looking at about 5-6 different monitors, and you're seeing some of them in your peripheral vision, and I see something, and my brain just kind of deleted it and ignored it. And then a beat later, it happened again, and this time I got both eyes on it, and I clearly saw on one of the surveillance black and white monitors what looked rather similar to what I'd seen with Stan Romanek. And no one had told me they were going to, I didn't have any indication at all that I was going to be punked on this thing. I really didn't. And I couldn't get in touch with anybody else. And I saw it, and it's funny, because the only thing my brain had to relate to it was what I'd seen with Stan Romanek. So my brain kind of filled in the blanks, and I actually thought that I'd seen articulated eyes or something move. And my initial reaction was, come on, man, someone's got to be messing with me. Then I couldn't get in touch with anyone, and I thought, I definitely saw something. What on earth could that have possibly been, And
I think that's a perfect illustration of witness bias. Our minds do fill in the blanks when we are, when we're put face-to-face with something inexplicable in our minds, we tend to fill in the blanks. So, I'm not surprised at all that happened. What do you think of Romanek, though? I mean, you got a chance to spend some time with him, and I'm going to be spending the weekend with him, actually, just kind of by coincidence. Well, what do you think of his case? Have you looked into it, the mathematical formula and some of the weird claims that he's made about, replacing the siding on his house and just some bizarre stuff? What do you think?
Well, let's see. Going back to the I'm suspicious of the alien in the window video. My gut tells me that either someone was playing a practical joke on him. There are elements of his story that I have no doubt that he sincerely believes are true. and there are some inexplicable or seemingly inexplicable events that have occurred to him that I am convinced that he believes is sincere and happened. Having said that, you know, it's like I did out of the blue, and there's a guy named James Oberg who discounted the entire film because I screwed up on a date with Mercury astronaut Gordon Cooper, basically saying, look, if James can't get this right, he clearly didn't get anything else right, and dismissed the rest of the film based on that I screwed up on.
That's typical for James Oberg, so let's not go further than that.
So whether or not there are any elements there relating to Stan's case or not, I haven't looked into it enough to say definitively one way or the other. But I, you know, having met him, he seems like a sincere guy that really believes something truly inexplicable is going down. But I just don't know enough about the case to make an educated comment one way or the other.
Well, looking at his response during the initial stages of that footage when the alien pops up in the window, it looks like, he must be a really good actor in order to feign that kind of surprise. I mean, it looked real legit in terms of what was going on inside the room.
You saw what somebody did to me, and my response looked pretty legit, didn't it?
Right. So, you know, it's just interesting how the observer effect can go, you know, a long way in this realm. So you think your jury's out, basically, in your mind.
The thing is, it's hard to comment on something like that. I like Stan as a person. He seems like a really nice guy, and his family's been nothing but sweet and caring and all the rest of it. And I just don't know enough about it. You know, all I can say is that the alien in the window, just there's something about it that just seems a little off to me, and I can't quite pinpoint it. I can't make an educated comment on it.
Well, here's another question from Gogs Mackay. He asked, do you have an explanation of how such huge cases such as Stevensville can happen and yet not be taken seriously by major media? You met with some really compelling witnesses down there, and I was very, very taken with, what I observed to be real sincerity. These people actually had highly unusual, unexplained experiences with objects flying over, and particularly at that kind of town meeting that you had, I was really taken by the sincerity there. What do you think about that? Why hasn't that case blown up in the media like it should?
Well, you know, it's interesting because one of the aspects of that case that's never seen the light of day was a personal experience I had while in Stephenville. I think it was the third or fourth time I was there. And I was shooting down by the town hall. And after I did a little shoot with Ricky Sorrells, this gentleman walked up to me, opened up his wallet, and flashed his badge. He said, I'm Officer so-and-so, and I'd like to have a word with you for a minute. And I thought, oh boy, what did I do wrong here? And he pulls me aside. I tell people on the set that were working there, I said, hey, I'll be right back. And he and I go to a little cafe down the street. And he says, I want you to know that you're on the right path. He said, I'm a police officer in the area. And there were four or five other police officers in the area that saw that thing. Ricky is telling the truth. I can tell you right now, we all saw it. We not only saw it, he said it was so low and so huge, I took out my radar gun and I zapped it with my radar gun and determined the speed was at 22 miles an hour. And he said he described it as being the size of either one or two department stores. Absolutely huge. And very slow, very low. He said that they got one of the officers used his car cam and pointed it up into the sky through the windscreen and actually videotaped it. And that videotape was brought back to the station. And then they were notified, I guess, by the local military base there. And they took that footage. And then they were all told not to ever talk about it. He said, I can never go on the record with this, James, but I just wanted you to know that you're on the right path, and that really did happen.
Yeah, that's really compelling, and it may dovetail into my next observation, which is supposedly some of these overflights violated secured airspace over the Crawford Ranch that the W. Bush had down there.
Well, you know, when you have that kind of personal confirmation, and I've had it on a number of cases, And the guy doesn't want any money. He doesn't want any notoriety. He doesn't want his name used. He doesn't want to be referenced. He doesn't want to go on camera. He just wants me to know that I'm on the right path. You know, you kind of have to ask yourself, why on earth would this police officer pull me aside to tell me that? Do you know what I mean? I mean, I'll give you another example. I was investigating the Varginha case. I think it was, 1996 in Varginha, Brazil. And I got the opportunity to meet with a general, José Carlos Pereira, I think was his name. He was very tight-lipped about the Varginha case. He just pretty much gave a big no comment. He's like, I'm with the Air Force. That was an Army affair. On camera, he wouldn't go into it. He talked about other significant cases that occurred in Brazil, but he wouldn't go into that one. And after the interview, we did it in a hangar in Sao Paulo Airport. And it was about a 5 to 10 minute walk back to the parking lot where this general's car was waiting for him. So I grabbed the translator and I walked back to the car with this general. No cameras rolling, just the translator and myself. And the translator said, told the general, you know, the general knew who I was based on what the translator had told him. And I looked him dead in the eyes and I said, please, general, tell me about the Varginha case. You know, and I looked him right in the eyes, and he patted me on the shoulder as he got into the back of his car, and he said, it happened, and he got in his car, and off he went. Now, I couldn't even use that in a documentary film, but having experienced it and having looked into this general's eyes and that little trend, you know, just that little validation, and then after having met the witnesses, but a lot of this stuff clearly couldn't be used in any of the document. You know what I mean?
I do, and we'll continue with this discussion in our next segment.
We have James Fox joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
There's a huge and hushed up conspiracy going on that's about to turn your lives upside down in the coming few months. Unbelievably, the media are keeping quiet about this. I'm sure they know it, but they probably know that revealing it on TV will generate mass hysteria and chaos. But I believe you should be informed about it, because when the sinister agenda is finally accomplished and everything unravels, only those who know this secret info will survive and thrive. Go to 123conspiracy.com right now to see the truth. The video at 123conspiracy.com reveals the real, secret reason why Obama is after your guns and ammo. And it's not just in response to mass murders of preparing for war. It's something much darker. Go watch the video now at 123conspiracy.com before they shut it down. Again, that's 123conspiracy.com.